This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll conclude our series of forums with the candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District now by welcoming in the Democratic incumbent from the 3rd, Ron Kind of La Crosse. We heard from his challengers yesterday, Republican home builder Paul Stark and Libertarian radio host Kevin Barrett. And now we want your questions for the incumbent. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us, talk@wpr.org. Ron Kind joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. And I want to thank Public Radio for offering this service.
Well, thank you.
And it cuts through all the clutter out there.
We appreciate you making the time to participate. Both of your opponents yesterday criticized your vote for the $700 billion bailout of the financial systems. Why did you vote for that?
You know, Joy, you know, I think we talked about this in the past, mm-hmm. though, but it was a tough vote. There wasn't a lot of love for this rescue plan, a lot of anger, as a matter of fact, when we got dropped with this situation, the financial meltdown, the credit markets were freezing up, and they're still very much locked up today, and we're seeing the consequences. But in the feedback I got from people, too, were very overwhelmingly against this because you know, the media described this as a Wall Street bailout. But I didn't have the luxury at the time to represent the anger that a lot of people were feeling. I had to try to make a decision that I felt was in the best long-term interest of the country. And given the imperfect information that we had coming in, it was clear that the danger of inaction at this time outweighed the danger of action. And that's why my focus in regards to putting this plan together was on Main Street, not Wall Street. It was on protecting the taxpayer interest in all this, not golden parachutes and CEO salaries. And we had to have oversight and transparency and accountability in this rescue plan. You know, the very things that should have been a part of the marketplace that I feel contributed to the meltdown that we're experiencing right now. So I hope it works, because if it doesn't, you know, if these credit markets continue to freeze and lock up, there are going to be a lot of innocent people throughout Wisconsin that are going to suffer greatly because of where this economy is going right now.
In fact, I think you said something along the lines that when we talked about this previously, that 50% of your constituent calls were saying no to this plan and 50% were saying hell no to this plan.
Oh, yeah, it was clear. I mean, it was very clear that people were perceiving this as just a Wall Street bailout and how somehow their tax dollars are going to be used to bail out these fat cats on Wall Street and these exorbitant CEO salaries. And that's really not what's at stake here with the rescue plan. But then again, the easiest thing I think politically for anyone to have done was to, you know, wet the finger, see where the prevailing winds were blowing back home, and vote accordingly. And quite frankly, I'll bet you 435 of my members wish they could cast a no vote on this, yet hope it passes at the end of the day, because we knew how politically unpopular it was. But it was also clear that action was needed. We have to restore some liquidity to the marketplace, try to stabilize things, hopefully buy time so that consumer confidence, investor confidence, and trust is restored. And right now what we're seeing with the meltdown is a whole lot of lack of trust and confidence, which is the underpinnings of the economic activity both at home here and abroad. And that is not going to change overnight. But hopefully with the rescue package and for us taking an equity interest in these banks, but recapitalizing them, that's going to free up these credit lines that are important for individuals and businesses to have access to. Because if businesses don't get those credit lines, they can't buy the inventory they need. They can't make payroll. You're going to see massive job losses. Credit is the lifeline of our economy. And if you want to see what a cash and carry economy looks like, you can come with me during one of my visits to Iraq or Afghanistan. Those countries are cash and carry, and they're a mess. And that's not the basis of our economy.
When I mentioned to both of your challengers yesterday that you voted for this because you said you wanted to stop the crisis from hitting Main Street hard, that you weren't trying to help Wall Street, you're
right,
trying to stop this from hitting Main Street, they both essentially just said, bunk, this isn't going to help Main Street. Why do you think it's going to help Main Street?
Well, again, you're already seeing reports out there. Municipalities are having a hard time bonding because of the lack of credit and trust in the system. You've got school districts right now in Wisconsin that are having a hard time raising those short-term funds to make payroll until state funds catch up to them. And, you know, some of my health care providers, large health care providers, told me that their basis points for for borrowing money went from 1.5% up to 9% almost overnight, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars of additional costs that these businesses will be facing unless these credit markets are restored and confidence is returned. And I'm not even talking about the impact on families that rely on loans in order to make purchases. Credit card terms are tightening up right now, and this will have a severe effect if we can't figure out a way to work through this. But again, there are no guarantees with this rescue plan because so much of this is the psychology of the marketplace. And what I sense out there is a whole lot of fear and lack of trust going on, and it's going to take a while to restore that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel front page. Stocks nosedive again, a 733-point loss on the Dow yesterday. Now, it looks like this morning things are starting off a little bit better, but boy, yeah. are you worried that this plan isn't going to work?
You know, I'm not that concerned that we're not going to be able to pull out of this. We will, you know, and just a few days ago, Joy, I had a fun time in the district because 5:30 in the morning I went to La Crosse Airport to see off the very first honor flight for World War II vets going to Washington to visit their memorial, the World War II Memorial. And I told them there, you know, one of the fun things I get to do in Washington is wake up really early in the morning and run around the mall and run around mm-hmm. our monuments and memorials because they put things in context for me. They're a constant reminder of the type of service and sacrifice that previous generations have given our country to create what we have in this nation, the greatest nation in the world. And there are also enduring reminders that each generation has a set of challenges that we have to rise and address. And it's no different for the current generation. You know, we've got two major wars going on overseas, and I'm concerned about the safety of our troops and the welfare of their families back home. And unfortunately, in the midst of all this economic turmoil, that's been relegated to, you know, secondary status, and that's not right. But we also have this meltdown that's happening here in our country and spreading globally. But it's time for us to step up and address this and figure out a way. You know, certainly it's hard in the height of a campaign season, but we've got to figure out a way to come together again as Americans and find that sensible center on policy and work together through these issues, because the impact this is having, it's going to impact independents and Republicans and Democrats alike. So we got to figure out a way to disarm in this political season and get to work and address these issues so that more innocent people aren't affected.
Let's take some calls. Bernie in Elkhorn is with us. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I consider myself to be one of the innocent people who's affected because this is raising the national debt, which is raising my tax bill. And I applaud Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich as people on either side of the aisle that oppose this bailout. Folks like Tammy Baldwin, yourself, Herb Cole, Paul Ryan, who's my so-called representative who voted for it. I'm sorry, when my private investment or small business goes bad, there's no bailout. And to me, this is pure and simple a bailout. And I have to ask you, given that half your constituents said no, half said hell no of those who weighed in, whose interest are you representing, or are you just too stupid to see what's going on?
That's a great question, Bernie, and quite frankly, I'm representing your interest and everyone's interest, because if these credit markets continue to dry up, you don't want to see what the adverse consequences are going to be. And what's hard to explain, Joy, is a lot of this is beneath the surface. I mean, you're not seeing the huge, massive layoffs right now, but there's the potential of that happening if businesses don't have these lines of credit to run their businesses. It's as simple as that. But, you know, we worked hard in this rescue plan to make sure that there were layers of protection for the American taxpayer, starting with, you know, purchasing up some of these toxic assets, holding them, managing them, waiting for a recovery, and then reselling them. And we basically told the Treasury, listen, you got to act like Warren Buffett here. Buy low, sell high. And if they can do that with a recovery, there's a chance that we could make money at this at the end of the day. But there's also a requirement that the federal government has to take an equity interest in these entities that are participating in the rescue package, similar to what we saw with AIG. AIG took an $86 billion loan at 12% interest, and we also took an 80% equity interest in AIG. So if there's an upside to this, the American taxpayer is going to be first in line to receive a cut of that type of profit. And then the third level is 5 years from now, the president has to do an analysis of how the program was administered. And if there is still a shortfall to the American taxpayer at that time, the president has to submit a plan to Congress on how to raise the difference in fees from the very financial industry that will be benefiting from this rescue package. So again, if this is administered and implemented correctly, there's a potential that we can really minimize the exposure to the American taxpayer and possibly raise a little bit of money at the same time. So we try to do our best in order to address Bernie's concern there, and I hope it works.
We will take more questions for Ron Kind. He is the Democratic incumbent representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which covers much of western Wisconsin. Ron Kind of La Crosse seeking re-election. We heard from his two challengers yesterday, a Republican and a Libertarian, and now it is Ron Kind's turn to answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234. If you'd like to send an email, it's talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 16th. Tomorrow, I will be broadcasting on location in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We will be broadcasting from Onalaska, the Timbers Food Court, from 6 until 9. We're going to be talking about local foods. We're going to be talking about politics and the latest from the presidential campaign trail. And we will be reviewing the news of the week. If you're anywhere in the region, we invite you to stop by, say hi, participate in the broadcast. If you'd like more information, WPR.org. It's the Joyride headed for Onalaska for tomorrow's broadcast. We're talking with the Democratic incumbent from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, U.S. Representative Ron Kind, and our next caller is Linda in Greenwood. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I was just wondering, for the $700 billion bailout, how much does it come out per taxpayer?
Irony in all this. You're not going to see your taxes go up because it's all going to be borrowed money. It's going to be treasury notes and bonds that we'll be selling in the marketplace. Some of it bought up by investors here in the United States, some by foreign entities. The key here is to get a return on that so we can make good on those IOUs when they come due and therefore minimize any type of potential taxpayer exposure. So at the end of this, again, if it's implemented the right way and done well, there's a potential the American taxpayer could make a profit at this. So we just don't know what the final outcome is going to look like at this point.
Thank you, Linda, for the call. I promise we'll get other calls in here, but most of them are related to the financial situation we're in, which probably doesn't surprise you, Ron Kind.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's a very difficult situation. But, Joy, you know, we also can't just be talking about a bailout. We got to be talking about a build-up. We have to start building up this country again, start investing in our future, rather than just betting and gambling on it. And there was a whole lot of betting going on with these mortgage-backed securities, and this is what's gotten us into the trouble. The buildup is going to require comprehensive health care reform, so every American has access to quality, affordable health care in this country. It's going to require a comprehensive energy strategy to wean ourselves off from dependence on foreign oil. It's going to require a world-class education system and an innovation agenda for our students, getting them into those crucial fields of study like math, science, engineering, technology, so we can stay on the forefront of innovation and creativity and the breakthroughs that will occur with medical and scientific and technological discoveries. This is how we're going to have to reinvest in our country again to right the ship of state, so to speak. And there hasn't been enough focus on that. Most of it's the immediate here and now, what's happening with the stock market today, with the financial markets. And we need to be thinking more long-term. We need to be thinking about what the next generation will inherit rather than the impact on the next election.
Let's go next to Steve in La Crosse. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Congressman. And
good morning.
Joy. My question is about the future. But looking back, it seems to me the whole crisis evolved from the credit markets involving home loan mortgages, and that too many bad loans were given out specifically by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, and there was a deregulation of some of the rules, evidently. And so some people that wouldn't normally have qualified for home loans got them, weren't able to afford them. Their values went down with the housing bubble burst, and now everyone's stuck with these bad loans, and everything else evolved from that. What can be done in the future, specifically by your party, who's in control of Congress now, to make sure that that kind of deregulatory chaos doesn't happen again?
A great question, Steve. In fact, one of the first things we did as the new majority last year, last March, just a month and a half after we were in office, is we passed reform of Freddie and Fannie Mae. And you know, that was within a month and a half of Democrats taking control of Congress, that we passed the regulatory reform of those two entities because we knew something had to be done, and we took action right away. But there's a misconception that Freddie and Fannie were actually doing the loans. They don't. They don't provide. They don't do mortgage loans. They buy them up on what's called the secondary market. So it's banks and other entities that provide the initial loan, and they sell that then to Freddie and Fannie on the secondary market, so it frees up capital so they can make other loans in their community. But also part of the problem is we had a lot of fly-by-night operations that weren't concerned about working with families and making sure they were in a structured loan that made sense for them. They were only interested in coming into a community, turning their commissions and fees, and then disappearing and selling that on the secondary market. So we also need to step up oversight on so-called predatory lending practices, which also got us into this problem. But fortunately, here in Wisconsin, our community banks, our credit unions, they were doing the responsible thing. They weren't getting people into mortgages over their head. They had tight credit requirements at the time. So I've been saying, you know, our financial institutions aren't the ones who created this mess here in Wisconsin. But there are a lot of other factors at play. But certainly more oversight needs to occur now in the marketplace, given the tough lessons that I've learned. And I equate it to this philosophy of taking the referees off the field. You know, I like to play sports, but every game has rules, and you need refs to enforce them. But when you take those refs off the field, what you end up with is tainted food, you end up with toys that aren't safe for our kids, mercury in the water, you end up with a financial meltdown that we're going, that we're experiencing right now in the nation. And we have to return that balance to oversight and reform in the marketplace.
Thank you, Steve. Brian in Milwaukee. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I should say that I'm the coordinator of the Wisconsin Healthcare for America Now campaign, which is working on federal healthcare reform. And I just wanted to first thank Congressman Kind for his leadership on the need for healthcare reform. And I was really pleased to hear you say just now that that's one of the things that we need to address in the near future, and that you know, we need to be investing in this country now. And so I wanted to ask you if you could talk more about the importance of that at this time, because, you know, so many people are saying, well, with the financial crisis, you know, we can't be spending any money. We need to, you know, reduce spending on programs. But other folks are saying that if we, you know, don't,
I don't. We lost you, Brian, somehow. But I get you.
Yeah,
let me also add, though. Are you, in terms of health care reform, are you a big supporter of Barack Obama's health care plan?
I have been, because he keeps the element of choice involved, which is important. So you don't scare people that they might lose their employer based health care plan. But he's also figuring out a way to make sure we get the universal coverage through various programs. And one of the interesting ideas he has is legislation I've been trying to work on in Washington, and that's establishing a national purchasing pool for small businesses and family farmers to enter and join. And therefore, they'd have more leverage. You could see premiums go down. It would be tax incentives to encourage them to extend health care coverage for their employees. And we need to be thinking creatively along these lines. But, you know, there was a lot of focus on the last couple presidential debates that, given the crisis, what do you give up? What do you not prioritize in your administration? And I hope neither one of them, whoever's elected, would put health care on the back burner again, because it's so fundamental to everything that goes on with our economy, in people's lives, and we need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time here, continue to move forward on the reform that we need to make sure that health care is affordable, cost containment measures, get to an outcome or performance-based system rather than a system that pays for utilization, and more preventive care, and let's, for heaven's sake, make sure we got coverage for our kids in this nation. That's a good place to start, because they're cheap, and you get a lot of payback by making sure our kids have proper health care in their early years.
Thanks to Brian. Janice in La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Joy. And Ron.
Good morning.
Ron, why can't we give people incentives to save instead of all this credit that obviously we've completely abused our country,
right,
out the window, all of it? Get people back into saving, and, you know, we're a buck man to buck type of thing. And then,
yep,
where's our infrastructure, Ron? We can't even pave our city streets here in La Crosse. and around the county and then the state. I'm so sick of this infrastructure meltdown, and yet people don't have jobs. Fix our streets and get this country back together again where the heck it ought to been.
I agree with you, Janice, because we've got a major infrastructure problem, and that, too, is part of the key on how well you can grow an economy in any community, and I think you're exactly right. But there were a lot of reasons why we're in this economic mess, and part of it is we got away from basic fundamentals, and that's saving for our future again. And, you know, Lord knows, my dad would have felt very uncomfortable 40 years ago going into a subprime mortgage with no money down. He had to have that 30-year fixed rate or he couldn't sleep at night. Somehow we've moved away from that type of individual responsibility culture that we have to try to restore again. And there's going to be a role for all of us to play, quite frankly. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of look-back opportunity to figure out what went wrong and why so we can fix it. But right now, we need to be focused on fixing it for the future so things don't get worse.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go, Representative Kind. Why should voters send you back to Washington for another term?
Well, Joy, you know, it's been a great honor to be able to represent the area you grew up in, a place like Congress, especially now when the challenges are so great. And I've never seen the challenges as great as they are, with two wars overseas, an economic meltdown, a federal budget that has gone south. We had an unprecedented explosion of the federal debt in the last 8 years, which is of great concern for me with two little boys and what their future is going to look like. But I think I've conducted myself in a civil manner, trying to find a way to form coalitions, work in a bipartisan fashion, and we need that more than ever right now. Rather than the shrill that you hear out there in the political campaigns and how polarized this nation has become, it's going to be hard to address these challenges head-on if we remain so divided and so polarized as a nation. And we need to send people who are willing to make the extra effort to work with other people and to keep an open mind and to listen to people, both at home and in Washington, because you'd be surprised how much common ground you can find if you work hard at listening.
And I'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Joy. My pleasure.
Representative Ron Kind, Democratic incumbent and candidate for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour and to Bill Martins for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.